Welcome to Facebook on Augusta Free Press. I am Chris Graham. This is Street Knowledge. I am joined by Crystal Graham. We're going to talk some UVA basketball. Hey, it's finally almost here. We're a couple weeks away. Crystal, you know I cannot possibly be more excited. This is on the horizon for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the last time you were there to watch UVA in person was at the ACC tournament. I guess Virginia was in the quarterfinals, prepared to play Notre Dame when you got news that the ACC tournament was canceled and shortly thereafter that the NCAA tournament was canceled. That was in March of earlier this year, canceled, of course, due to COVID. And so, Chris, you've been able to say as a UVA alum that the University of Virginia is still the defending national champions in basketball. This season, of course, lots of things are changing for UVA. You know, a lot of names that people have been familiar with aren't there anymore, but there are some names that we are familiar with that are on the court for UVA this season. UVA hosting their virtual media day, really Sunday, they kind of had a meet the team day, virtual media day on Monday. Chris, you've been kind of following all the conversations among players and coaches there. What are their expectations for the upcoming season?
Well, I'll speak about the outsiders' expectations for UVA basketball. Now, tomorrow we will get the results of the voting by myself and roughly 100 other media members who cover the ACC regularly. In terms of preseason, all ACC, both the individual five-person team, the preseason player of the year, and then also the 1 through 15 rendering of the teams. Virginia likely, they're going to be preseason number one in the ACC. The Associated Press Top 25 was out this week, the preseason Top 25. Virginia ranked fourth in that. Highest ranking for a Virginia team since 1982, which is surprising to me in one sense. I mean, I kind of knew to look for that, but this is the Virginia team that has been a number one seed in the NCAA tournament for the last six seasons. As you mentioned, they're the defending national champs, but they've not been ranked higher preseason than number four until this year. So if that tells you anything about expectations on the outside looking in, this is the most anticipated UVA basketball season in 38 years. And this is a team that is still defending champs. There's still a flag flying outside of my window that says so. From last season, you know, there was a lot of loss from the year before in terms of your big three, your Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, and DeAndre Hunter, the group that was most essential towards that championship run in 2019. They were all gone. They were all in the NBA last year. And last year's team had some growing pains. They started 12-6. Looked for a while, the people who knew these kind of things, the bracketology type people, were saying that Virginia was iffy at that stage at 12-6 in mid-January as to whether they might even get in the NCAA tournament if there would have been one. We didn't know at the time it was not going to be one. But they finished 11-1 down the stretch, won their last eight. They beat Duke and Louisville in their last two home games and would have been a solid 4 or 5 seed in the NCAA tournament if things had played through. And so now you look, and yes, you're right, Crystal. You said, you know, there's a lot of new faces. There's also, I think, compared to last season, coming into last season when you're missing your biggest three guys, and Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter, all going to the NBA, you're missing Mame Diakite. You're not going to be better not having Mame Diakite in that one sense. He's a great player, played there. He was a 5-year player, you know, redshirted 1 year. He's part of the program for all that time. Braxton Key was an essential guy on that championship team 2 years ago. He had transferred in from Alabama, only played 2 seasons at UVA, but he was such a heart and soul kind of guy for that team. You don't want to say, hey, you're missing those guys, but that's not, Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, and DeAndre Hunter. They're not, but also they were important guys. But you've got a big three coming back this year that I think rivals that big three from 2 years ago in terms of its versatility and maybe even has the edge of experience. You've got a 5th-year player in Sam Hauser, the transfer from Marquette. You've got another 5th-year player in Jay Huff, who's been around UVA for 5 years. And you've got a junior starter at point guard in Kia Clark, who feels like he's been around forever. So, yeah, I think the expectations on the inside are pretty high. They won't admit to that because Tony Bennett teams, Tony Bennett sets the tone. He doesn't like people talking about how good they think they are. He wants them to work hard. So, you won't hear them say this, but I think inside the expectations are pretty high for the season.
So you wrote a column this week about the new big three, just talking about those three players that you just mentioned that are back for UVA. You know, Jay Huff tested the NBA waters just a little bit after last season, but did make the decision to come on back. And like you said, all these names are names that we're all very familiar with. You know, Kihei Clark, when he first came in, you know, everybody's like, who's this little guy, you know, scratching our heads a little bit. And then of course he had a key play in the national championship run that kind of solidified his place on the team going forward as well. So Chris, I thought maybe you could break down these three players just a little bit more as far as what, you know, what expectations are with these three guys, you know, as part of the key lineup. You know, Jay Huff's now, like you said, he's on the team. He was part of that recruiting class with all those big names you mentioned, Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter. He's kind of the old kid on the block instead of the new kid on the block. But, you know, obviously I think UVA fans are probably very excited to hear that all three of these guys are back and that they'll be in the lineup for UVA basketball this season.
I'll start with Sam Hauser, the guy that we haven't seen in a Virginia uniform, unless I guess you've been privy to watching, if you had access to practices last year. He was a scout team guy. As a redshirt, he had to play on the scout team, but he's the guy you've been hearing about for a couple of years. He transferred in the spring of, I guess, 2019. From Marquette, when Marquette had an interesting little situation. I mean, a great team there that broke up. He and his brother, Joey. Joey went to Michigan State. Virginia plays Michigan State, by the way, in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and that'll be Hauser versus Hauser.
We're going to talk about the schedule here in a little bit, but.
They played a lot this spring and summer because everybody happened to go home. They played a lot of one-on-one, so that'll be an interesting little battle there for those two guys. But, no, Sam Hauser is a guy that you've been hearing about for a while because, I mean, gosh, everybody that we talked to last year in the media, when we would talk to the Jay Huffs and Miami Diakite's Braxton Keys, all they could do was talk about Sam Hauser, excuse me, and what a great offensive player he is. 14-plus points a game as a junior at Marquette, shot 45% from the floor, 40-plus percent from three-point range, 92% from the foul line, 6'8", and he has all those skills. The one issue with him that, you know, from a UVA fan standpoint that you'll have to be looking for is just what he can do defensively. You know, I mean, to get on the floor for Tony Bennett, you got to play defense. And I'm not saying that Sam Hauser doesn't see the floor. Tony Bennett's going to have him on the floor for 30-plus minutes a night. But, you know, he's going to be asked to play two different roles defensively because at 6'8", you know, you might have him at times playing what's the four. You know, when you think of the basketball positions from 1 to 5, 1's point guard, 2's the shooting guard, 3's small forward, 4's power forward, 5's center. He'll be playing 4 at the power forward position defensively a lot. And then he'll be playing some 3 because when Tony Bennett wants to go big with his offense, he'll have Jay Huff as his 5. But if he wants to bring in Kadeem Shedrick, for example, Francisco Cafaro, they call him Poppy within the program, and go big, that means that Hauser has to play, you know, more on the perimeter. So that's going to be tough. I mean, he's a guy who's not played the pack line defense. And you could say, well, he played a lot last year in practice. Actually, in practice last year, he was the scout. He was the captain of the scout team, and he was often a guy that was in there to challenge the starting team for UVA. You know, starting group, the rotation guys, to make them better by making them have to defend him. So, no, he didn't get a lot of work in the pack line. He's going to get his work in the pack line in the preseason, and then in the early season this year. And it's tough. I mean, it's not an easy defense to pick up. So, you know, that whatever growing pains this team has will be because, you know, Sam Hauser is playing that role that, I mean, he's taking over basically from Braxton Key, who was last year's best defensive player. He'll take his minutes. And Key had taken over from the year before's best defensive player, DeAndre Hunter. So Hauser brings a different feel to this team. Last year's team won 4 games, not scoring 50 points. I don't think you're going to see this year's UVA team have to win a single game not scoring 50 points. They're going to score a lot of points this year. It's going to be a different team, but Sam Hauser is going to be a reason for that.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that different team here in just a little bit, but let's shift gears now to Jay Huff. What do you expect out of him this season? How is his role evolving within UVA?
Well, you mentioned, Crystal, that he's a guy that was part of that recruiting class with Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter. They left 2 years ago. They're all in the NBA now. They just finished their first year in the NBA. They're getting ready to start their second year in the NBA. And Jay's still on grounds. Jay's a guy with NBA aspirations. You mentioned that, you know, he tested the NBA draft waters this offseason. deciding in August to come back. He had that longer period of time because of the pandemic. The NBA draft still hasn't been held, actually, for 2020, which is, I was just thinking about that the other day, how odd that is that we're in November and that's been the case. But no, J.F. is back, but he's a guy he's got the skills that NBA general managers covet. He's 7'1". He's an elite shot blocker. He averaged 2 shot blocks a game last year, had 10 in that game over Duke, including the block in the final seconds that sealed that game. He shoots 35% from three. He can do it all. He's the one thing you can't do, I guess, is back to the basket scoring in the post, but really nobody at 7 feet tall anymore is asked to do that. So that's not a knock on his game in this day and age at all. But he's back in Charlottesville. I say part of that reason is he didn't really discover until late last season that inner mean guy. He's too nice a guy. I mean, I've had the fortune to be able to talk with him a few times. He is a super nice, you'd almost call him a sweet guy. And that's great, but when you're on the court, you got to be mean. And you saw that last year in that Duke game particularly, that one where he just missed a triple-double. He had 15 points, 9 rebounds, 10 blocks. I mentioned the big block at the end of a Vernon Carey pick and roll that sealed that win for Virginia. And if you remember the play, he blocked the shot, and then he got the rebound, and he kind of flexed his muscles. That's the Jay Huff that Virginia fans have been waiting for 3 years. If we get that Jay Huff more often than not here in 2020, 2021, that's going to be a good thing, not just for Virginia basketball fortunes, but for Jay Huff, because I think NBA general managers want to see that Jay Huff. They want to see the nice guy off the court. They want to see the nice guy that, you know, when he's out in the community, when he's with your NBA team, is doing all the important stuff community-wise, nonprofit, fundraising-wise, whatever else. But when he's on the court, you want him out there being a little snarly. And Virginia needs that guy. And I think that you kind of saw that come out last season. You might, if we see more of that this year, which I expect, that's going to be really good for Virginia basketball.
Also back, Kihei Clark, as we said earlier in our discussion here, Kihei was instrumental in the national championship run. Three-star recruit that I think that everyone has, he has exceeded many people's expectations. But this year's a little bit different. He does have top 50 recruit Reese Beekman as a backup. How do you expect that to play out this season?
Well, I mean, first, it's about Kihei Clark. If I had one word to describe him, it would be stones. That's what I put in the story. The subhead for his part of the story was stones. He is stones personified. 5'9", and I put that he's officially 5'9". I'm not sure he's 5'9". He might be a couple inches shorter than that, but boy, he plays huge for this team. And, 2 years ago when he came in, you mentioned three-star recruit. His other offer was Cal Irvine, and not to disparage Cal Irvine, but that's not what, that's not ACC point guard pedigree. He will likely be a first team preseason All-ACC guy when those votes come out tomorrow. He's come a long way. He played 24 minutes. I remember that first night when he came out as a freshman, and he played 24 minutes. He was the first guy off the bench, and everybody on press row around me is like, who is this kid? What's he doing? I'm like, well, all the guys they could bring out first guy off the bench, why is it him? And he played 24 minutes, and he averaged just under 27 minutes a game for the team. He averaged over 30 minutes a game in the NCAA tournament. Not only the play that we remember where he chased the ball back in the backcourt, found Diakite for the shot that tied the game, eventually led to Virginia going to the first Final Four in 30-plus years. Tony Bennett said, I remember this from the celebration, the championship celebration last September 2019. Tony said he hit probably the two biggest shots for Virginia in that tournament run. When you think about it, I mean, Diakite hit a big shot. DeAndre Hunter hit the tying shot in the championship game. But Tony thinks that the two biggest shots that were hit were Kihei's three in the first game against Gardner Webb when Virginia was down 14 in the first half. He hit a three that got Virginia closer. And then in the game against Oregon in the Sweet 16, Virginia down three, about 4 minutes to go, things going against Virginia at that stage. At Oregon on a run, he hit a three to tie the game. Virginia never looked back after they got the lead. So he goes from that to then last year, he takes over the offense, averages 10.8 points, 5.9 assists a game, shoots 37.5% from three, which is significant. And he averaged 37.1 minutes per game playing ball hawking defense and doing all that offensively. It'll help him a lot that Reese Beekman's around. he had high praise for Beekman, talked about how he's a guy that, you know, doesn't make mistakes. He's a really good defender. He thinks they can play a lot together, which I thought was key 2 years ago. Tony Bennett used Kihei Clark defensively a lot to make it easier on Ty Jerome so that Ty was fresher at the end of games without having to chase the other point guard around for 35 minutes. And then, you know, then Ty was more effective late game. I think you'll see something similar this year with Beekman sort of being that change-up guy. Like, Beekman might be the guy that you rely on early and midway through games, and then you kind of turn to Kihei late. But they'll both play a lot together. They'll spell each other. But just having another guy that will be very helpful to Kihei, and it'll make the team a lot better as a result as well.
For those of you just joining us, again, we're talking UVA basketball virtual media day being held really Monday. Chris is kind of still pouring through all the interviews and everything that were a part of that day and producing some content for you all. We've broken down then those three key players for UVA. Chris, you talked a little bit earlier about how maybe that offense might play a bigger role for UVA. You know, people who have watched UVA for a number of years are used to low-scoring games. You know, this is a defensive team. For people like me who like high-scoring games, you know, there's some of us who are scratching our head. But at the end of the day, UVA was winning games. And so you can't question that when they continue to put W's up on the board. So, Chris, with this new season, you said you expect high scores coming out of UVA. So how is that offense going to take on, I guess, a more important role for UVA than perhaps what we're used to seeing over past years?
Well, let me clarify. I'm not going to say high scores. You're not going to see this team all of a sudden start scoring 80, 90 a game. Even 2 years ago. Now, see, this is where you have to UVA fans, especially the really diehard UVA fans, we've become basketball nerds in lots of senses, because you have to be to appreciate the way Tony Bennett plays basketball. You kind of got to dive into the efficiency numbers, because Tony's teams play such a slow tempo. For example, last year, there are 353 teams in Division I. The Cavaliers averaged 59.4 possessions per game. That ranked 353rd in college basketball last year. Just for comparison's sake, the year before, they also averaged 59.4 possessions a game. That also ranked 353rd. Now, a difference between the two teams. Last year's team, and this is astounding. When you hear this number, you're going to just, it's amazing. Because I did all kinds of analysis last spring about this. Virginia was 23-7 last year. They were 15-5 in the ACC. They were second in the ACC last year. They had the 234th best offense in terms of efficiency last year. 234th. There were 233 better teams offensively. Not in points per game, in points per possession, because you got to factor in Virginia play such a slow pace. So 2 years ago, the champion team, now again, they play the slower pace. So if you just looked at average points per game, you'd say, well, that Virginia team, they were probably, I don't know the number in front of me, they were probably around 60th, 70th in the country in terms of their points per game. They were second in the country in offensive efficiency. And this is why it's important to point out the efficiency numbers. Because when you play Virginia, you play Virginia's pace. Nobody makes Virginia play a fast up and down the court game. You don't get Virginia games don't have 75 possessions like Duke games do or like Carolina games do. Virginia games have 59 or 60 possessions. That's what they play. You have to beat Tony Bennett playing Tony Bennett basketball. Now, the team last year ranked first in defensive efficiency. The team 2 years ago was fifth. So when I say that the team 2 years ago was great offensively, it's not to say they were bad defensively. They were number five in the country. There are, again, 353 teams ranked in Division I. And so they were fifth defensively, but they were second in terms of offense, 2 years ago. That was the difference in that team. I think this team, I don't know if they're going to be second in the country in terms of offensive efficiency, but I bet they're a top 10 team offensive efficiency-wise. Sam Hauser, with his ability to shoot the three, will open things up. That'll help open things up for Jay Huff. Kihei Clark having a backup in Reese Beekman, who's a top 50 recruit. That'll make Kihei better. It'll make Beekman better. Haven't even talked about Jabri Abdur-Rahim, another top 50 recruit who is likely to either start or at least get a lot of minutes at the three position, the small forward position. This is a team that's going to be much, much better offensively. Now, the question is, I mean, so you've got Clark, and you've got Huffback defensively. You got a lot of other, you know, Hauser's an older guy, but he's new because he's a transfer. Beekman and Raheem, Abdul Raheem, are both freshmen, so they've got to learn how to play the defense. They won't be as good defensively for the first few weeks, and the first few weeks include games. We'll talk schedule in a little bit. Includes games with Michigan State, Florida, Villanova. You know, those are all November, December games for Virginia. They might have to win those games more offensively. As the season goes on, they'll get better, obviously, defensively. They'll also get better offensively. I think this team has a high ceiling, a much higher ceiling than last year's team, maybe as high a ceiling as that team 2 years ago.
So I do want to talk about the schedule, but before I shift to the schedule, is there anything else about the team that UVA fans need to know?
Depth is going to be something here. I mean, I mentioned so many names there, and of course we've got other guys from last year's team that we'll have to figure in too. Thomas Waldotensai, he's the junior college transfer who came into his own late last season. The sharpshooter 6'6" wing guy, Cody Statman 6'7", another wing guy, overseas player. We'll be fighting for some minutes. Casey Morsell, who was the linchpin of last year's recruiting class, struggled offensively last year, but, you know, maybe he'll have a bounce back. It was expected to have a bounce back year this year. He was a four-star recruit coming out of high school. I mentioned Francisco Cafaro, the 7-footer from Argentina. Expect him to get some minutes this year. I mentioned Kadeem Cedric. He's a guy that, you know, redshirted last year, had to put some weight on, kind of like Jay Huff a few years ago. Jay Huff came in really skinny. Had to put a little bit of weight on, and we'll see him, you know, step up, I think, as well. So there's going to be a lot of guys. I mean, you know, last year's team kind of struggled a bit. Tony had to go with a shorter bench. This year's team, there's 11 or 12 guys competing for minutes. And I haven't even mentioned one guy that, you know, the NCAA is giving out waivers like crazy this year. Virginia got an interesting transfer recruit that isn't getting a lot of ink right now, except from our good friend Jerry Ratcliffe over the mountain. Trey Murphy transferred in from Rice. He's a guy that Virginia recruited heavily when he came out of high school, but he was a guy that kind of went under the radar for a lot of folks because he was 6'5", about 165, 170. He goes to Rice down in Houston. He grows 3 inches. He gains about 50 pounds. He's still, you know, at 6'8", 210. That's not, I mean, he's still a string bean, but like with muscle now. He shoots the three like crazy. And there is talk about trying to get with the NCAA basically saying because of the pandemic, you know, we're not going to be as stringent on transfers this year as we have been in years past. You put him in this mix. I think that number 4 preseason ranking might be low because that guy is going to be a guy that could give you 15 points, 20 points on any given night with his offensive skill set. He's another Sam Hauser. So holy crap, if you have 2 Sam Hausers, I mean, so I don't want to even dream about that because Tony's kind of playing that on the down low right now, as far as what they're going to do with Trey Murphy. I mean, ideally, in one sense, if Trey Murphy's okay with it, which he seems to have been okay with it, if he's okay with sitting out this year, he has then 2 years of eligibility left and he won't have to compete with Sam Hauser for playing time. And then you have him growing older with Abdur Raheem and Beekman and Carson McCorkle, a guy I didn't even talk about either, another 4-star recruit coming in this year. But if he's with part of this mix, I mean, it's just an embarrassment of riches. So this is a, you know, I've been looking forward to UVA basketball seasons a lot the last several years. You know, I remember that the year that they lost to UMBC in the first round of the tournament, I thought that team could have been a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Not a lot of other people did. They didn't even start that season ranked that year. They did become a number one seed, then lost to UMBC. I know that, you know, the championship year, obviously we had high expectations. Last year, maybe not quite as high expectations, but still, I mean, top 10 preseason. This year is maybe the most anticipated UVA season. Considering all that, this one is the most anticipated UVA season since the Ralph era. I mean, this has been a season we've been looking forward to. We, you know, writers, the closet, diehard fans, whatever you want to say. We've been looking forward to this season for about 3 or 4 years. So it feels like Christmas is almost coming upon us, even though that's still a few weeks off, just because of the fact that we're going to get this season in a couple weeks.
Something definitely to look forward to. Now, I know, Chris, that the schedule was announced for basketball. At this time, it doesn't sound like there's going to be a lot of fans allowed. It sounds like a very similar type of thing to what they're doing with UVA football. You know, a small number of friends and family of players have been allowed. I don't think there's been a formal announcement on that yet, but unless, you know, a vaccine or something is pushed forward really quickly, I know that's the talk kind of behind the scenes right now, is that it's very likely that we'll all be watching this on TV, most likely the ACC network. So for those of you frustrated with football, with a great UVA basketball team, seems like we're going to need the ACC network going forward. So Chris, the schedule was released, a 27-game schedule for the University of Virginia with 20 ACC games on the schedule, 14 games at John Paul Jones Arena. What are the highlights of the schedule?
Well, it starts in 2 weeks from tomorrow. We found somebody to replace. I think it was St. Francis we were supposed to play originally, then they backed out. We're playing Maine on the 25th, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And that's going to be up, not that it matters, because like you said, Crystal, we're not going to be at the games. But it's up in the Mohegan Sun up in Connecticut, which I hear is just a great place to watch a basketball game, and in addition to doing lots of other things, but that doesn't matter. But Maine and then Florida won the Friday after Thanksgiving, basically Black Friday. And so Florida's a team that got some votes for top 25 consideration. They were just left on the outside, I think 27th or 28th, whatever that would unofficially be. Some other highlights. So Maine and Florida, you know, the start of the season. Other highlights then, you know, you kind of skip forward. They play St. Francis. They play Kent State. Michigan State in the Big Ten, ACC Big Ten Challenge. This is a game. I mean, this really stinks. I think it's almost like ESPN's punishing us again. We've been waiting for years for Michigan State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I mean, dating back, Michigan State beat Virginia in 2014 in the Sweet 16 up in Madison Square Garden. We were there, Crystal, for that. Mm-hmm. They beat Virginia then in Charlotte in 2015. Crystal, we were there for that. We've been waiting for this game, and we've been getting other games for all these years in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Now they finally are coming to Charlottesville, and nobody can freaking go. So thank you, ACC Bronx cheer. But Michigan State, yeah, that's going to be – I mean, that's a hellacious game. We've been waiting for it for years. Looking forward to that. Like, I've never looked forward to a game before that I can't go to. Another game that's going to suck that I can't go to is December 19th, a Saturday in Madison Square Garden against Villanova. The last two national champs, because Villanova won in 2018, Virginia won in 2019, they're playing in Madison Square Garden. Villanova's preseason number 3, Virginia's preseason number 4. Can I say it again? They're playing in Madison Square Garden and we can't go. So, but that's one to look forward to. This all sucks. And then you look ahead, then there's a few ACC games. The ACC, the stretch in the ACC, this is – so I'm not saying anything's easy, because I think the ACC is going to be really good this year. There's going to be some more depth than we've had in the last couple of years. But I'm going to skip all the way ahead to this particular three-game stretch. February 13th, North Carolina. North Carolina is not going to be last year's North Carolina, which was a sub-500 team. They had five-star recruits this year. Eventually that team will be good. And by the time we play them on February 13th, they will be good. So February 13th, you got Florida, Carolina. Then 2 nights later, you have a Saturday, Monday thing here. You go to Florida State, last year's ACC champions. And then your next game is Duke. So you got Carolina, Florida State, Duke back to back to back. That's a good challenge for this team, for this Virginia team with championship aspirations. You got to get through that stretch. There's a lot of fun stuff on the schedule that you can enjoy on TV, because, I mean, officially, it's not my job to sell tickets for UVA, but officially they did include in their press release, which I didn't run this because, again, it's not my job to sell tickets for them. They're not letting us in the game, so I'm not going to help them out in any way, but I will mention that they did say 1,000 people will be allowed in, and they're going to contact season ticket holders. Whatever. You're not going to be none of you are going to be lucky enough to be allowed in. They're not letting sponsors in.
I know after the national championship season, I was just trying to get season tickets for some friends and that kind of thing. And, you know, we had been giving to UVA athletics for some period of time, but apparently not giving enough to get season tickets. So, so definitely not going to be in that 1,000 that gets the phone call there.
I'm not even into like 8 or 10 who gets to sit courtside, even though like that place is going to be otherwise empty. They're not letting a lot of writers in, which is fine. That's what their choice is. But, you know, that's why I'm not going to sell tickets for them. And I'm really not going to sell the ACC Network for them either. I mean, the ACC Network is not doing well. People aren't watching it. Crystal, you mentioned it. I mean, we're going to have to, if you're a UVA fan, I'm going to promise you this. They've only announced one time in one TV network. There's 27 games on the schedule. They've only announced one time in one TV network. That's that game in Madison Square Garden against Villanova. It's going to tip off at noon on Fox on a Saturday afternoon. The other 26 are all up in the air. Good number of those are going to be on the ACC network. They're trying to get you to buy the ACC network. They're going to make you go to Hulu or YouTube TV or whatever other thing you have to go to because it's not on Comcast Xfinity. They're going to make you go find that and watch it.
But that is a challenge for a lot of people, especially older people who don't seem to understand the technology. You know, it does take a little bit, you know, if you get YouTube TV like we have and you have to switch between, you know, you have to switch between remotes and Roku and Fire Sticks and everything else to be able to pull it up depending on what TV you're using and everything else. And so it's just not easy. You know, it's amazing to me that after all this time, there still hasn't been a deal set with Comcast and Xfinity because they are the biggest cable provider in this area. So
the whole Mid-Atlantic region from Florida really up to, I mean, I think even up to Boston, I mean, and everything in between. No, and we're fortunate that we, of course, I mean, this is our business, and we can have cable and YouTube TV and pay an extra $60 a month. For a lot of people, you have to make a decision. You know, do I continue with the cable that I like and has everything else I like, or do I pay $60 to get this one channel? I mean, that's essentially what you're doing. Mm-hmm. They haven't announced those games yet, but you can guarantee that there's going to be a number of those games on the ACC network, and they're going to try to make you buy it. So, you know, I hope for our sake, I say our sake, because we already have that. We already pay the extra money for, you know, we just kind of, you know, have decided to do that. But I hope for a lot of folks' sake that this is going to be a good UVA team. Again, I'm not trying to sell the ACC network to you, but this is going to be a good UVA team. You're not going to be able to go to JPJ most likely. I mean, they haven't said that for the whole season, because obviously we don't know what's going to happen health-wise. In February and March, you know, there's just yesterday we wrote about the vaccine, the news about the vaccine that is apparently 90% effective and they're going to start rolling out in the next few weeks. You know, that will have a big role. I mean, but you can't predict anything. So to me, it's most important, I guess I'm going to say it this way. To me, it's most important that they just play the damn games. I mean, because this team is going to be so good. Just play the games. And I mean, they've done a great job with football. The football for the most part has gone off pretty well. You know, our team isn't winning in football, but at least they're playing the games. It's more important to me that they play the games, whether I'm there or not. Yeah, I'm a little sour that I'm not there. I could be there, but I'm sure a lot of you folks are sour for the same reason. But, you know, at least we have something to look forward to and hopefully a lot of fun things to watch this winter.
Well, and I'll say I'm sour. Obviously, I'm the one who kind of controls the checkbook here for us personally. And I know when I was contacted about giving to UVA, my response was, you know, my husband wrote two books on UVA basketball, and he's not even credentialed to cover UVA football. Probably not going to be credentialed to cover UVA basketball. I'm not saying you're not credentialed, but you're not going to be there since, like you said, they're really allowing like 8 or 10 media people. And apparently if you're not print and you're not video, then you're not good enough to be there. That being said, you know, so that was my little way of protesting the fact that Augusta Free Press wasn't there. You know, you covered the 2019 championship team all the way to, like you said, to Minnesota, where we saw UVA win that. Being ranked preseason number 4 puts a lot of expectations on this team. Are you confident? You know, you don't know anything until I know the ball's, you know, on the court, so to speak, but do you see another championship run possible for this UVA basketball team?
Certainly possible. I mean, you know, yeah, a lot of things have to happen. And of course, you can have one off night in the NCAA tournament and things can go awry. It's not like the NBA postseason where, you know, it's a best of 7 series. You can have an off night and still come back and win a series. In college, the NCAA basketball championship is the single hardest championship to win, to me, in all of sports, amateur and professional sports in the United States, North America, because there is no margin for error. You have to win 6 games to win that championship. And if you're a team with expectations like this Virginia team, if you do anything but win the championship, you have fallen short of expectations. I mean, especially with a fan base now that knows what it feels like to win a championship. So yeah, the expectations are sky high for this program. And it's a lot of pressure. the pressure 2 years ago was different pressure. I mean, it was pressure too. I mean, you got to think about that team from 2 years ago. They were the first number one seed, and they weren't just a number one seed. They were the number one overall national seed. They were the number one seed of number one seeds that year and lost by 20 points to a 16 seed. And so everywhere they went last year, every time they went to a visiting team's, you know, arena, you know, there were fans sitting in the front row wearing UMBC sweatshirts or jerseys or hats or a combination of all three, signs held up in the air. Everywhere they went, the reporters asked them questions. Well, what about UMBC? Every time they tipped, and then they're down 16 points in the first half to the number 16 seed Gardner Webb, which has the arena full of fans because they're 2 hours away from Columbia, South Carolina. That place was nervous. I mean, I was nervous as hell, and I was not playing. I was sitting up, you know, I was sitting on press row, and it was a tough situation. Every time they threw it up in the air last year, basically they had that challenge. The challenge for this year's team is not quite that, but there are high expectations. There's also, I mean, you know, I think there's a different set of challenges with every team in sports has this challenge of the pandemic. But you know that you're going out there and you're giving up a lot. I mean, the players were talking about this week. They're not able to see their families as much because obviously for contact tracing reasons, et cetera, you know, so you're around your teammates, but you're not around a lot of other people. You've given up a lot to do this. And so it's a different level of pressure, but it's certainly there. And I feel this way about the football team too. The football team's 2-4, UVA football's 2-4. And they're giving up a lot to be 2-4. I mean, imagine, you know, they didn't come into this season with expectations like the basketball team's coming in with, but it's tough. Playing sports in 2020 and in the early part of 2021 with the pandemic over our heads, it's going to lift soon. But while you're still playing with this hanging over our heads, it's tough because you're giving up. I mean, athletes give up a lot anyway, especially college athletes. They have, you know, they have class responsibilities. They have to maintain their pace towards graduation. They have all the travel associated with big time college sports, all the training and everything else. And then this year on top of that, you know, they have to do all those things. Plus, you know, they're not able to just be regular people to any degree. I mean, all of us are having some issues with being a regular person, but they have it even more so. So, you know, there's a lot. This is a tough year. And that said, you know, I'm sure they're just looking forward to getting out there and finally seeing what can happen on the court.
Yeah, I mean, we talk a lot about COVID, but it does have an impact on sports. And of course, right now, we're not real sure how soon that vaccine is going to get into circulation. You know, again, the early tests seem to show that it's about 90% effective. If that's true, you know, that could make a big difference on the upcoming season. But as you said, Chris, you know, when you have to be nearly perfect, especially in that championship run, when you have to win those six games in a row, you know, contact tracing and COVID could impact these teams, you know, in a way that obviously you can't even begin to plan for. So that will certainly be a challenge this year, unlike any other year that you've covered, I'm sure. Chris, anything else you want to add about UVA basketball before we prepare to wrap up today's discussion?
Well, I'll just say, not even about UVA basketball. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing breakdowns of each of the other 14 teams, I guess, in the ACC, since we did an in-depth. I won't do quite the in-depth I did with UVA because I know UVA really well, but I do want to break down for UVA fans, at least, who follow us closely on Augusta Rebrest. I want to break down the other 14 teams, what they have coming back, their newcomers, expectations from each. Sort of from their, as much as I can replicate their inside perspective, you know, I'm going to write about that as time goes on the next 2 weeks leading into the tip off of the season on that Wednesday. And so they look forward to that. Of course, we are still covering football. I mean, UVA has the football team has a game this weekend with Louisville, and we'll have pregame coverage of that. Not quite as much. I think I'm making the transition mentally already to basketball, but we'll have our regular what UVA fans need to know about Louisville column, any late breaking news on the team as they are heading into their home stretch as well. And then, boy, that Wednesday, I tell you what, Wednesday the 25th is going to be a fun day for college basketball fans because we're tipping off the season with wall-to-wall basketball on ESPN, its family of networks, the CBS networks, A lot of syndicated games are out there. Fox and their networks are going to be busy. So, I mean, it's going to feel like you're in a bubble, just full. You can have 50 TVs up around you and see a game and see what's going on. And we're almost kind of like we're going to need a red zone kind of thing to keep up with it all that night, and also the Friday after too. So, given where we've been with sports, the last few months. Being this close to getting started is exciting. So we're going to do our part to get folks ready.
All right, great. And if you're feeling nostalgic about the 2019 team, I'll just mention for Chris and for Jerry Ratcliffe, again, they published a book, Team of Destiny. You can get a copy of that online on Amazon. You can also get a copy of that if you go to AugustaFreePress.com and at the very top, click on books. It'll give you a list of local retailers, including Mincer's, the UVA bookstore, and some other outlets where you can pick up a copy of that book, some of them signed. So we hope that you'll do that as well. And if you're really wanting to go back a little bit, Chris also authored with Patrick Hyde a book called Mad About You, Four Decades of Basketball at University Hall. That one was published back as JPJ was preparing to open. You can still get the ebook for that on Amazon. It is out of print now, but just a couple of end notes there for our podcast, Chris. So UVA basketball season kicking off here, tipping off here on November 25th, right? So some exciting times ahead for UVA basketball fans. Chris, as always, we appreciate your insight. For more of what Chris Graham has to say about UVA basketball and, as he said, UVA football, be sure to visit us online at AugustaFreePress.com or follow our Facebook page, Augusta Free Press. For Augusta Free Press, I'm Crystal Graham signing off. Thanks again, Chris, for joining us, and we'll see you again on Friday just to talk a little bit about UVA football.